speaking on the phone now with Michael Mack, who is the chairman of the Missouri River Recovery Implementation Committee. Mike, thanks for being with us.
Nice to be here.
And Rob Turner is also our guest. He is with the Oak Ridge Institute for Science and Education out of Oak Ridge, Tennessee. Rob, thanks for your time.
Nice to be here.
Guys, let me start, if I could. Michael, why don't you go first? Would you explain what your roles are, especially related to this study about the spring pulse or the spring rise that was released, or that you got a draft of, I guess I should say, during last week's meeting?
Yeah, well, as chair of the Missouri River Recovery Implementation Committee, I try to organize basically convene meetings that enable the members of Mr. RIC, as it's called, to kind of achieve what they were asked to do in the legislation which came out of the Water Resources Development Act in 2007, which is to advise the Corps and the Fish and Wildlife Service on issues pertaining to the management of the river, and especially in regards to the three endangered species on the river, and then to advise on a recovery study. So this report is part of the effort, obviously, to help advise the Corps and the Fish and Wildlife Service, particularly on the pallid sturgeon recovery effort.
And Mr. RIC has been meeting for how long now?
We're just starting our fourth year.
All right. And Mr. Turner, what was your role in this report?
Well, the Mr. RIC committee selected me about 2 years ago now as what they call the third-party science neutral. And the idea was to have us select a panel of independent experts who could review the state of science with regard to the spring pulse and its effects on the endangered species. And we put together a panel of six experts, and they have listened to and read a great deal of information about it and put together this report from that information.
All right, and certainly this is Rob, this is a heated issue, and folks on both sides of the river issues and of environmental issues, wildlife issues. We're going to be looking very closely at the members of that panel to make sure that they were impartial. How did you go about assuring that?
Well, we select reviewers and panelists for many different agencies, and we've got a very fairly sophisticated process for doing that. We look at what are the credentials. Well, we look first at what are the needs for the panel, and then we look at people who have the credentials to meet those needs. And what we try to do is select people who do not have any kind of financial or familial or other interest in the outcome of the report that they'd be working on. So they go through a fairly rigorous conflict of interest evaluation, and then they sign a conflict of interest form stating that they do not have any financial or other conflicts of interest in the process.
And what were the findings of that panel for the future of the spring rise, the spring pulse as a practice?
The top-level findings were that the managed spring pulse, that is, as it is currently being implemented, probably is not going to have a beneficial effect for the endangered species. It probably is not having an effect to, based on the information we can see now and probably into the future. The magnitude of the pulse as it's being implemented now is probably too low to have the intended effects.
Okay, now, folks who have been fighting, wanting to see the pulse done away with for years now may hear you say it's not having the effect it wants, and that would be something of a rallying cry for them. Is that the proper response? Are they right?
Well, what the Corps has been doing has been kind of a combination, and this is in response to the reasonable and prudent actions that have been specified by the Fish and Wildlife Service. They've been doing the spring pulse in combination with some construction activities of shallow water habitat and emergent sandbar habitat. And what our panel is suggesting is that those activities have been done independently of each other and have not been coordinated, and that there may be further benefit to be had if the activities can be better coordinated, and that even a small spring rise might be useful in coordination with these construction activities if they were better coordinated. So the panel's recommending an adaptive management strategy that is comprehensive and looks at all of the different things that the Corps is doing at the same time rather than independently.
Okay. And, Michael, how do you interpret that? It sounds to me like the panel is not recommending that the pulse be done away with.
Yeah, the panel was pretty specific, and I think rightly so, that they are not going to recommend specific management actions. It needs to be a panel that, you know, advises and then lets managers make those decisions. But by the same token, some of the findings, I think, were challenging for the managers. They identified that sturgeon had spawned in years with and without a pulse, which is, you know, good news for us to know that there's some type of environmental cues going on out there that do give the sturgeon some sort of environmental impetus to go through their spawning act. So that's good news. But like Rob says, if you take, you know, individual management actions in isolation, it's not very strong as a program, and things need to be kind of considered in, you know, a group of actions and how each action relates to one another.
All right. So with the receipt of this latest draft of the report, and I understand a final version is expected to come out next week, November 1st, what is Mr. Rick doing from this point forward regarding the rise or the pulse?
Well, some of the things we're doing is, going through, once we do get the final report, we will look for things that we want perhaps to be further looked at by the management agencies. We will make a recommendation to the management agencies that they respond in some official capacity to the Mr. Rick about, you know, the report. And we will also be looking forward to what we're referring to now is topic number two, which is the next charge to the committee. And it may very well be something that stems from something that is generated in the final report. So there's really kind of three things going on as in analyzing the report, advising the lead agencies to respond to the report, and then looking for this next topic for the science panel to handle.
All right. What kind of time frame are we looking at? Could we see some kind of action taken before this coming spring?
For this spring, we've basically been able to buy some time because the Fish and Wildlife Service and the Corps have jointly decided not to have a spring pulse next spring. It will not occur, so it's given us a little bit of basically advantage of time. You'll likely see some recommendation related to this coming out of our next meeting, which is in February. And then, of course, when the, you know, lead agencies can respond to the final report is pretty much up to them. It will be challenging because there's an incredible amount of very good information, both for the Corps and for the service, for, you know, a broad spectrum of ideas within the entire management of the spring pulse and its impacts on the endangered species.
Okay. Mr. Turner, a question that is often asked is, who is watching, who is studying to see what effect that the Pulse has had on the pallet sturgeon. What, you know, is it doing any good? Is it having any effect at all? And would you talk more about that? Because it sounds like that's something your panel looked into.
The Corps and actually the U.S. Geological Survey and a number of state agencies have quite an extensive monitoring program that has been looking at what the effects might be. One of the conclusions of the panel is that that monitoring program may not be looking at all of the things that it should be looking at, and that it may be looking at some things that it doesn't need to be looking at. And so one of the panel's recommendations is that the lead agencies look closely at the monitoring program and evaluate what pieces of it might be adjusted to better see those types of effects.
Do you have any thoughts on what impact this report might have on other management practices outside of the Pulse?
Well, that's one of the things the panel is recommending, is that the other management practices be looked at together with the Pulse and comprehensively, so that the interactive or the cumulative effects of all of those different management actions might be considered together.
Okay. Mr. Mack, when that next meeting you said is in February, where is that?
That meeting is scheduled to be in Kansas City.
Kansas City, all right. And as the process, the Mr. Rick process moves forward, whether it be related to the spring rise, spring pulse, or any other issues, how should folks proceed if they want to be involved in that or have some input in that process?
Well, the Mr. Rick meetings, for the most part, are open to the public unless we go into an executive session. There also is a website, MrRick.org, that is got a lot of the information generated out of our meetings. And it's important, too, for people to realize that it's not just about the spring rise or the endangered species. Mr. Rick really offers a forum for people to talk about a lot of the issues on the Missouri River that are important to them. And especially this year, we'll be doing an awful lot of discussing of impacts of the flood of this last year. People in the Upper Basin were greatly affected, still are being greatly affected in some cases. And so it's a committee that has a much broader range of topics to deal with than just the spring rise and the endangered species.
Certainly, and I know that some of the lawmakers for the Missouri River Basin states have made the remark that, at least the ones from Missouri, for example, have made the remark that some of the Upper Basin states lawmakers, congressional members, have a new perspective after the 2011 flood. Would you say that this year's event has changed the tone of the discussion for some of the members of Mr. Rick?
I don't know if it's changed the tone. That's a pretty hard thing to say. It certainly made flood control and some of the flood control management, really front and center in their minds. We're only 4 or 5 years removed away from a severe drought that created the absolute lowest levels the reservoirs upstream ever encountered. And here, 5 years later, we're dealing with, a 500-year flood. So I guess everybody needs to always keep in perspective that the Missouri River is a very dynamic system. It's pretty hard to manage everything just based on the potential for a flood when you have, a few years down the road from the potential for a drought where, water shortage is an issue. So it's a very challenging system, and I hope all the members will keep that in mind. But it's pretty tough to do when, you've been running a sump pump for, 4 months out of your own, on your own dime, to keep your property from flooding. So it's a tough situation for people that were affected by the flood.
Certainly. Well, gentlemen, that's everything that I wanted to cover with you. Is there anything else that either one of you would like to add while I've got you? And Michael, why don't we start with you?
No, thanks for the opportunity to talk about Mr. Rick. Again, I would just encourage folks in the public to check out our website. And again, feel free to come to the meetings. And be aware that the federal agencies have set up a Missouri River Flood Task Force that met for the first time last Friday in Denver, and will be continuing to meet through the winter and talk about flood management issues related to the flood. And I'm sure you can find information on that on the Corps of Engineers website. There'll be advertising regular meetings for that group.
Okay. And Mr. Turn, did you have anything you want to add?
Well, I'd just reflect on Mike's statement that it's a very complex system, and it can be misleading or dangerous to try to pick any single piece out of it. I think we do need to remember to look at it in a comprehensive way, and not to try to pick on any one particular management action or say that's right or wrong. It has to be looked at in the bigger picture.